Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. It's drop dead gorgeous in the northern parts of Florida, and I tell you, next to heaven, it's the greatest place to live. We have got a crammed packed show today. The big list of FAQs, what you need to know before you get started focusing on your other 8 hours. Man, this is just a great book. Robert Pollarini. I tell you what, he had to have one heck of a time, kids trying to spell his name at school. The other 8 hours, maximize your free time and create wealth and purpose. It's a big day in my life. This is the first day of the rest of my life. My 20-year-old is getting married this afternoon. We're going to just have a powerful day. And this is the greatest way to start the actual story. Now listen to this. This is powerful right here. This is how Robert starts this chapter. It says, crack. Sharp sound of the gunshot pierces the evening air. You hesitate just for a fraction of a second, and then you push off the block. You've cleared everything from your mind so that not even your thoughts will weigh you down. You feel only the blood pumping through your heart, and your feet are pounding on the track. You hold your head up. You keep your back straight. Your legs are rocking up and down. Your arms are pumping back and forth. You've got the sweetest little rhythm, man. You are rocking. You've trained for years. You've sacrificed time with family and friends. And it all comes down to this race. You cannot lose. You become faster and faster with each step. Your strides get longer and quicker. You crash through the finish line full speed. All the time in the gym and on the track has paid off. This is what you've worked so hard, trained so long to achieve, and it was worth it. Then you notice that the cheers are loud, but they're not for you. You look at the board and you see a number 2 next to your name. You wipe the stinging sweat from your eyes, hoping that it's clouded your vision. You squint, but the 2 is still stuck. Like an ugly appendage to your name, your eyes dart to the time. Your time, 10.83. The winning time, 10.82. You lost by 0.01 tenths of a second. The outcome of the last 6 years of your life was decided by a hundredth of a second. Now think about this story. This is what I love about him and the way he literally creates everything that he does. Listen to this next sentence. You didn't lose at the finish line or halfway through the race. You lost at the starting block. The milli of a second hesitation determines your fate. This is exactly how it is when we're sitting here trying to become creators, trying to create and build something that's ours, trying to take control of our other 8 hours. This is where it all starts and finishes. And this is why this chapter today is going to be the pinnacle for the rest of your week. This is where you really get to get down to the nuts and bolts. So grab a pen and paper. And listen, you need to buy this book. I'm not going to go through all 24 of the FAQs that he puts in here. I'll read them real quick, but I'm not going through them all. I'm only going to grab the ones that are the most important. Here's what he says. He says, getting started. Number 1, what are a few things I can start doing tomorrow that will help me become more creative? Number 2, what should I do if I'm really not creative? Now, don't write these down yet. We're going to go through these in just a second. I just want you to listen. Number 3, we're going to cover what's a creator's club. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to do that. Let's just get started because this is so drop-dead powerful here. This is the question. Write this down. What are a few things that I can start doing tomorrow that will help me become more creative? Folks, I use 3x5 cards. But I'm telling you, you need to write down 3 things. I don't want you to write down 10. Don't write down 20. Write down 3 things. Robert writes in here, coming up with a good idea is hard enough, so don't lose a good one because you're not prepared to capture it. You need to have a small journal you carry in your pocket. You need to have 3x5 cards. You need to have something that's on you all the time because here's where your greatest thoughts come. When you're driving 70 miles an hour down the freeway. When you go to Home Depot in the morning, grab a cup of coffee, and you're walking down the aisles, an idea comes to you. Trust me, I know this personally. When you're walking down the beach, when you're sitting there in the shower, and you're going to bed at night, John Maxwell, one of my greatest mentors, has a writing pad and a small writing light beside his bed, and when he wakes up in the middle of the night with an idea, he writes it down. You have to be prepared. If you're not prepared, you're not going to make it. Then he comes up with a question. And I think this is powerful. You need to write this down. It's called the million-dollar question. Matter of fact, if you're in network marketing, this should be important to you. Here's what I want you to ask yourself. If my life depended on it, how could I make $1 million in 365 days? What would I do? How could I do it? What would I have to do? See, this question causes you to think outside the box. My life depended on it. How could I make $1 million in 365 days? That's huge. Second thing under this question that you can do, and I'm talking about the main question we just asked over here. What are a few things I can do to get started tomorrow? Listen, here's another one. Hang out with your kids. You know, over the weekend, I just flat out took time off. I didn't wait. I didn't do nothing else. I just chilled out a little bit. I've got a friend of Dalton, and he's putting a blog together, and he's putting a website together, and he emailed me and said, can you help me out? And I said, sure, man, just shoot me over what you need. I had so much fun working with this kid. And it's like, and Robert writes on here, hang out with your kids. Folks, I'm telling you, you hang out with your kids, here's what's going to happen. You're going to see what they're wearing. You're going to see what they're thinking. You're going to see what they're drinking. You're going to see how they're talking. And the next thing you know, you're going to come up with a great idea. You're going to know exactly. If you're in network marketing, listen to me in a second. You're going to know specifically the type of network marketing that you want to become a part of. That's going to be the key here. This is, guys, this is rock solid. So much stuff. I mean, it's powerful. Question number two. Write this down. What should I do if I'm not really creative? Man, use other people's ideas. I mean, and listen, Robert writes in here, and I know he would do this because he's an author. That does not mean I want you to steal somebody's idea. Okay, and that's the whole thing. A true successful venture, you're going to have everybody's ideas. You're going to mastermind with people. You're going to get together. You're going to do some stuff. You're going to think about it. And you're going to come up with something rock freaking solid. One of the dilemmas in network marketing, and I see this all the time. It's the dumbest thing, but I see it happen all the time. People don't come up with creative ideas. They get pissed off at the upline. They get pissed off at the owner of the company. And then they go out and they decide, I'm going to start a company. And you end up with 14 million energy drinks. You end up with 14 million juices. It's all the same crap. If you want to build something, I don't care if it's brick and mortar. I don't care if it's a network marketing company. I don't care what it is. Find something unique. One of the greatest things about relationships and about watching couples at the beach, especially this time of the year, because it's spring break, is every couple is unique. It's funny to me how kids think that everybody's the same, and then when you look at them down the beach, you've got this big, tall football player with this little bitty cheerleader, or you've got this big bruiser of a wrestler, and then you've got this track girl. It's so funny to watch these kids. Folks, I'm telling you, your business needs to be unique. Don't steal somebody's ideas. Just borrow from them. Jimmy, you got your hand up, and I saw that. You're turned on, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to, when you were talking about that first question, first off, good morning, my friend. How are you? Second off, the question that you ask about, what could you do to make $1 million in a year's time, if you, that kind of resonated with me for a split second, and my mind shifted immediately to a different focus, because I know that if I were to ask you that question, it wouldn't have nearly the significance as if I were to ask you this question. Troy, what would you do if one of the lives of one of your children or family members depended on it?
Ooh, that's
to
a good
come
point.
Up with $1 million in the next year.
That's excellent way of putting it. See, that's the difference, folks, when you come from somebody that's a trainer and a coach versus somebody that's a financial planner, which is what Robert does. Jimmy, that was great, man.
I'd never thought over all these years of presenting that question to someone, because the vast majority of the people, as you well know, who come into the home-based business industry, to try and create a better lifestyle and more time for And that question puts it all in perspective, man.
Oh, man, in a big way. And, folks, let me just drive home what Jim just said. You know, last week some of you were on the show and realized that both my son and my daughter-in-law are both in different departments of correction, which left my seven-month-old grandbaby in the arms of a stranger. And right now, money is not an object for us. We are going to make sure that we do everything necessary to bring that little girl home until one or both of her parents have got their act together. That's just life. Jim, that was great, the way you added that in there, because people need to realize that even as human nature, I mean, if you go and study psychology, you find out people will do more for others than they will do for themselves. It's just a natural path where I think we're just created that way, to be quite honest. So that was sweet, dude.
Just trying to do my part, man.
Oh, and you know, if you hadn't have taught me so well, you wouldn't be able to do your part, and that's what I love about it. Here's one of the other questions. You know, we just talked about this. What do I do if I'm not creative? You go borrow somebody else's ideas. Here's a powerful one right here that he brings in. This is part of your FAQs, folks, when you're getting started. What is a creator's club? Now, listen, you need a creator's club. Some of us might call it a mastermind club, but what he's done in here is he breaks it down. He says a creator's club is a group of friends or colleagues who come together to brainstorm and bounce ideas off of each other. And then he says there's two types of clubs. One is the support club. It's where people get together and they support each other. They encourage each other. They share their ideas. And here's why this is so important. As soon as you come up with an idea, you're going to go tell your friends and family, and you're going to get two things that are going to come out at you. You're going to get some dull, negative, disillusioned people that tell you, no, man, you can't do that. Don't you know business failed in the first year? Or you're going to get people that say, that rocks, man. I'm excited for you. How can I help? And that, you know, folks, that's just the way it is. I don't care what business you're going to start. People are afraid of one or two things. They're either afraid that you're going to succeed when they've failed, or they're afraid that you're going to outgrow them. And that's scary for people because they've become part of the status quo. Deal with that, but you need these support groups. The second support group, he says, is equity clubs. Now, these are similar, he says, to support groups, except these are like-minded people who share the same entrepreneurial spirit, but it's with different ideas and in different ventures. Matter of fact, I've got a group here in town that's invited me to join them, and there's only one person from different industries that are allowed into this group. And that way, we're out there helping each other, and we're not competing against each other. You know, the worst thing you want, I'm going to digress for a minute, because I want everybody to go buy this book, and I'm not going to go through all these questions anyway. But I'll tell you, a prime example of a company that failed in 2009 because all of a sudden they went after like-minded people. There was a little company at the beginning of 2009 that launched called Local AdLink. They were out there focused on internet marketers in different niches. They were out there focused on brick-and-mortar businesses. They were doing some stuff right. But then they decided that they wanted to go into the network marketing industry. And here's what all of a sudden, every ad was from a Zango. There's 15 million Zango ads, 15 million Noni ads, 15, and it failed. Now we got another company that bought the software to make it happen. Folks, you've got to make sure you surround yourself with like-minded people. One of the things that Jim and I have been able to do is we've created a culture to where we get people coming from us from every facet, every industry, different authors, everything, masterminding with us, and they do it because they know we're going to give them sound advice. They're not coming. We don't have all networkers from the same company coming to us. We have a well-balanced group, and our mastermind group that we deal with are mastermind folks from different niches within our profession. Matter of fact, we had Deb Warren on. We've had Doug Fireball on. We've had Tom Chenault. We've had all these great people that are from different industries within our niche. And that's what you want to do. Here's the next question I want you to write down. And I think this is powerful. I think people ask this question. And this question here is not so much for you as it is for somebody that you're mentoring, coaching, and equipping. Now listen to this. I don't think I'm old enough to start my own business. Should I wait until after I graduate from college or find a career? I'm going to say that one again. Listen. I don't think that I'm old enough to start my own business. Should I wait until after I graduate from college or a career? Now, I told you guys a minute ago that I was mentoring a kid over the weekend. Justin's parents own a small business in the office supply industry here on the island. This is one of those times when, just like everybody else, the industry's been hit hard. They're sending Justin to school. You know, he's decided to come back home after the first semester and do some work. And here he is wanting to launch a business in a niche that he enjoys. He's very creative. This is in the music industry. And he's putting together this website where other people, other up-and-coming artists can come in, get part of his website, and then he's going to help produce them. Now, there's people out there that would tell him, oh, man, you don't want to do that. That's a competitive industry. You know, you're going to have a hard time getting it started. Listen, folks, his mom and dad are supporting him 100%. When I heard him brainstorm this to me, it's like, dude, I want to help you. Let me help you with the SEO. Let me help you with your social marketing. Let me show you some plugins to use. He's on cloud nine because this kid shouldn't have to wait until he graduates from school, until he gets a job at Walmart and makes some money. You know, you need to let those people in your life, your kids, your grandkids, I don't care who it is you're dealing with. They need to find something that they enjoy. And this is the new psychology in America, and I'm telling you it works. This old mindset of just get a job, do what your grandpa did, it doesn't matter if you're happy, it's going to put bread on the table, is about the suckiest attitude somebody can have. You need to do what you enjoy. And yes, it needs to make money. There's no doubt about that. But if it's legal, if it's a way to make money, if you enjoy doing it, then go do it. I every time, and Jim, I mean, I have so much fun doing this. Every summer we have this, the two or three times, what do you call them, starving artist tour comes into town. And it's these great artists that know how to paint, but their paintings just haven't taken off. Going to support them because you can see the love and the pride that they put into their art. And it's like, man, why wouldn't I support people like that? Folks, you need to support those people in your life that way. That's just the way it works. Next question. Listen, write this down. This is important. I want to use the other 8 hours to improve my life and to make more money, but I can barely pay the rent every month. I'm so focused on just surviving that I can't do anything else. What should I do? Oh, this is great. Here's what Robert writes. First, don't beat yourself up. He goes, I've known many people, some close friends, who have gotten themselves in some really bad situations. It's surprisingly easy to do, and it's scary how fast things can turn out bad. There are a million reasons you can get into trouble. High medical bills, loss of job, real estate market tank, okay, bad investment. Here's what he says. You need a short-term strategy to survive and a long-term strategy to get out of your hole. This is great. Here's the short-term strategy, step number one. He says just list all the expenses that you have and then list all the money that you have. Okay? Now, what you're going to do is all of the expenses, all of the crap that you're dealing with, write it all down in a column, and then beside it, write these letters. You're going to write P for postpone, E for eliminate, R for reduce, and K for keep. It's that plain and simple, folks. Don't let this stuff beat you up. You know, step number two. Well, you wrote them down. Step number two, you're gonna put those letters beside them. Step number three, you're gonna look and calculate your expenses and get rid of what you can get rid of. Okay, that's just life. Don't worry about it, but never give up on your dream. Focus on your dream. And then he goes into the long-term strategy. Okay, oh, wait a minute. This is great. One of the other part-time strategies has is the boost job, and we talked about this last week. Look, if you need more cash, go find yourself an $8 to $10 job that's meaningless. It doesn't take any brain power. I don't care if it's working at a library, if it's working at a computer lab, if it's working at a real estate agent answering the phone in the evening time at a hotel as a hotel clerk. Just do something to bring in enough cash to start paying off the bills. Now look at the long term strategy. Find new skills. Look, if you're looking to get into something new, you want to launch a new business. Then go start acquiring those skills. Read about them, learn about them, do everything that you can to get it done. It's just the way it is. Start bouncing and looking at things that you can do to help other people. Do you realize one of the greatest ways to get yourself out of hock and start living your dream is to go help somebody else do the same thing or keep from doing the same thing that you've just done? Folks, that's the name of the game right there. And the third thing that I want you to do, and he didn't put it in here, but I'm going to put it in here, is network. You have to network. Look for other people. Look for people out there that sometime or another were in the same position you are and ask them how they got out of it. Start getting outside eyes on this thing. That's a big, big thing that you have to do. If you don't do that, it's going to screw up. All right, here's some things he covers on avoiding the landmine. He says, I've got a day job. Is there anything I need to know before I start something on the side? This is huge. If you happen to a company where you've literally signed an employment agreement, maybe you've got non-disclosure agreements, and you got to dig deep. Anytime you work for a company like that, you do not want to go start a new business. You don't want to start a new venture. You don't want to do anything until you've made sure that you can do it legally. Because sometimes you can't. The other sad thing, and I saw this happen with Zengo. Okay, those guys that launched Zengo a few years ago had been on staff running Noni International. When they found the mangosteen, they were on staff at Noni. The dilemma was Noni didn't want anything to do with the mangosteen product at the time. So what happened? These guys went out and started their own company. Want to know what happened right after that? Noni sued them. Okay, you want to make sure you've covered your P's and Q's. You have to. If you don't, you're up a creek. Okay, it's that plain and simple. Here's another landmine, and we talked about this just shortly a minute ago. Listen, why are my friends and family so critical of my idea and desire to better my life? And Robert writes this in a very articulate way. Listen to what he says. You will likely face negativity and pessimism from those who are closest to you, your friends and your family. Why would those who care about you the most also be the most critical? There are only two reasons. They either don't want to see you fail or they don't want to see you succeed. It's that plain and simple. They're either trying to protect you from defeat or they're worried that your venture might actually take off. You must prepare yourself for negativity. You must be prepared to hear your families and friends be critical of your desires to better your life and for your enthusiasm of your ideas. Folks, listen, this happens all the time. I don't care if it's network marketing or you're going to go down the street and start a lingerie store. Anything that you want to do, you're going to have criticism on. Don't let that stress you out. Instead, step back a little bit, go start a creators club, and start hanging out with like-minded people. And this is so simple to do. All you got to do, write this down. You're going to go to Ning.com. That's N as in Nancy, ING.com. And you're going to type in whatever it is that you want to do. If you want to make transparent widgets that have a battery in them that when you turn it on, they will fly all over the world, then you'll go find a social group over there just like that. This is the greatest place for you to find a creators club of like-minded people doing exactly what you want to do that you can just throw ideas off of and get around a lot of good, positive stuff. Okay, that's a plus. You have to do that. If you don't, you're up a creek. Now, here's one that's close to Gemini's heart. Why is my spouse so unsupportive? Folks, we see this in everything that you do. Now, there's probably some times when your spouse is going to be unsupportive. Okay, if you're married and you and your wife's got a great relationship and you want to go open up a nightclub, she's probably not going to be the most supportive because she knows it's going to take you out of the house. So you got to make sure you're doing something right or she's on board all the time. And here's some things that he says. Number one, maybe your spouse just doesn't like you anymore and doesn't care what you do. Okay, now, in that case, you better go get therapy. Okay, and he's got a point here. Now listen, he's got a point. It's humorous, but there's something here. If you've been a workaholic busting your butt and your wife's been raising the kids by herself, the odds are she's not going to support you in anything until you start giving her some quality time. You start letting her know that she's number one in your life. Okay, so analyze that a minute and think about it. Second thing that he puts down, and this is very, very rock solid. Maybe you've maybe you're the best thing since sliced bread, but you may have a spouse with issues. Just maybe. And this, guys, I'm talking from a man's standpoint. Women, they're going to see it in their men, too. There could be a fact here that there's some insecurity and that your spouse doesn't want you out there around the opposite sex. Again, you may have to get some therapy issues on that one. But here's the most common thing. And this is the one that Jim and I have seen more often than not. Your spouse is afraid. Afraid that you'll take too much risk, that you'll lose the kids, you'll lose the college savings, that you'll go through your retirement. Afraid that you'll spend all of your time working and that you'll neglect the family. Afraid that you'll try and fail and be disappointed. Afraid that you might fail and then it'll be an embarrassment to her. You got to understand something. Women, the key word in their mind, whether they admit it or not, is security, financial security. Men are conquerors. We go out there, we want to conquer the world, we want to start something new, and when we do, what happens? Sometimes we fail. With us, failure is no big deal. We knock it off, we go at it again. So you want to make sure right off the bat you've got spousal support. Here's some things you can do. Number one, don't be defensive. Listen to her. Write down her concerns. Quote them back to her to make sure you understand. Second thing you can do is try to alleviate the fears. Have her work with you. Put caps on how much you're going to invest. Listen, one of the things that just pisses me off to no end is in network marketing is some guy that drinks the Kool-Aid of their upline. They're in a doggone network marketing business. Their upline's saying, just hang out a little bit longer. Just hang out a little bit longer. They're spending $200 a month for a product that's sitting in their garage that they've never drank. Folks, don't do that. Get with your spouse and find something that you both enjoy. Find a product, a service that you would pay for, whether there was a compensation plan there or not. Look around the house at something that you're already invested money in and see if there's a network marketing company for that that you can start saving and paying yourself to use the product. Now there's a reason for you to get excited about that business. Now there's a reason for you to grow. Now if it takes a little bit of time, and you're sitting there saying, man, it just isn't working yet, you're okay because you're still using the product. It's just not sitting there getting dust on it, becoming outdated, and ending up in the trash. Network marketing isn't just about the money. It's also,
amen.
It's also about the product and the services. You have to use them. Every morning, listen, folks, every morning I get up, and I start my day with a product that Jim Gilhouse told me about and I wasn't able to buy until about a month ago. And it's from a company that actually is no longer in network marketing, but I love it. And here's the kicker. I'm buying this stuff, and I don't get paid for it. And it's called Put Some Money in It. It's a protein shake. Now, think about this for a second. If there was a compensation plan to it, I'd still be buying the product. I'd just be buying it through myself. That's what we're talking about. So you've got to look. I mean, these are things you want to do. The third thing you want to do is get your spouse involved. Let her know what's going on. Let her watch the videos. If you're getting a franchise, take her to a franchise meeting. Number four, this is big. Ask them for help. Ask them for their ideas. Ask them how they would do things. Now they know that you care about them and that they're part of. And the fifth thing that you're going to do, talk about the benefit. Share with them. I challenge you to go get a three-ring binder and start dreaming together and putting stuff in there. If you're building a brick-and-mortar business, if you're building anything, get it in there. Look at it. I mean, that's what you've got to do to build this thing and build it right. Folks, you need to go buy this book so you can go through all 24 of the FAQs tomorrow. We're going
to Hey, wait. Before you stop, I want to add something to that three-ring binder thing that you just talked about.
Yeah.
Create a dream book with your spouse. Don't care whether it's with your husband, with your wife. Take the time to create a dream book. Tell them what a dream book is real quick.
Dream book, guys, is where you've got it down there. You've got the house, the vacation, the debt-free. You've got what you're going to do with your kids. Everything is there. Not just the pictures, but you're also going to write what you guys are going to do, how you're going to feel. And look, we're going to go over, but listen to this. Paige and I started our dream book in 1990, the first time we came to Destiny. And we wrote in it every day. I had one of my dreams was to have my office in Panama City and live in Destin so I could drive down the beach every day, go to my office on the fifth floor, and overlook the Gulf of Mexico. Now, folks, I don't live that dream. Okay, I got smart and decided I didn't need an office. So every day we're able to get in the car and we drive down the beach and we look at the Gulf of Mexico. And my dream, my reality is so much better than my dream. See, that's the key. But we did it together. Her dream was to live behind the condo that we first stayed in because she loved the way that teal green neon light shot up into the sky. 9 months after we moved to Destin, we bought the only house that is directly behind that condominium to where we can sit by the pool at night. We can look up there at that building and she can say, I remember when you made love to me when we were in debt. Now listen, if that's not a dream come true, I don't know what is. That's the power of a dream book. Folks, tomorrow we're going to talk about the creator rule, the 8 rules to minimize risk and maximize success. You do not want to miss this call. Have a fantastic day and we'll see you tomorrow. Radio for your mind. Bye now.